You're listening to Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. And, of course, being the second Wednesday of the month, we have our people along from Hutchison Legal to give us some legal advice and talk about various aspects of the law. This afternoon we have with us Annabelle and also Eamon. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Alan. How's it going?
Hang on. We're right now. Sorry. We just had a little bit of a dropped out there for a minute. Welcome to the two of you.
How's it going, Alan?
Very good, thank you. Now,
thanks for having us.
That's really great. We always enjoy our times with you people. We at the last time we had a question about the state of disaster. Now, we've talked a little bit about the state of emergency. We don't want to discuss whether we should be in it or we shouldn't. That's not what we're here to do. We just want to talk about what does it do. Does it automatically bring in certain laws, or does it give a government, forget about this government, any government, the opportunity to bring in special laws? What does the state of emergency actually mean, and what powers does it give, and to who, please?
Yeah, I guess I'll just start off with, so a state of disaster actually addresses matter that's beyond the public health issues that we have been concerned about. So it was meant to deal with emergencies such as the natural disasters, explosion, terrorism, but also with a plague or an epidemic, which is something that we're having right now. In Victoria, it was actually used in January during the bushfires. So this is not the first time a state of disaster has been declared over Victoria. So what it actually does, it allows the Premier, in this case, Dan Andrews, to make a declaration after considering the advice from the Minister of Police and Emergency Department. It allows the police to actually enforce rules such as the nightly 8 to 5 a.m. curfew, as well as restricts people's movement within the 5 km radius around their house.
Does that automatically come in as soon as you declare a state of disaster? It just gives them the power to do those, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It grants the power to the Minister for the Police to respond to disaster in different ways that they're able to do so. And I guess one thing is that it can't be extended in blocks longer than 1 month, and it has to be reported back to the Parliament. So there's a lot of care taken to even declare such a state of disaster.
How long, like in this case, they've extended it by 2 weeks. Is it like, because a state of emergency can only go for 6 months, can't it? How long can the state of emergency go for?
A state of emergency is different from a state of disaster. The state of emergency has now, I think a bill has just been passed in the upper house on 2nd September's morning for a 6 month extension of it. So it supposedly ends on the 13th of September, but you know, the government's looking for an extension and we might be looking at a 6 month period of it.
So with a state of disaster, can it be in for 6 months, or is it just the length of the disaster, or how long can a state of disaster exist?
As of yet, it's only for a month. But then again, state of disaster and what we call stage four is a different thing. State of disaster just provides powers to the minister, and it may be extended as well. We're not too sure how long it's going to be, if it will be.
But there's not like the state of emergency where it has to stop at 6 months without a law being passed. How long can the state of emergency exist
before the state of emergency can exist for after a bill is passed, but I think for a state of disaster, at the moment, it's only for a month and 2 weeks after, and we'll see what the government says about that, because it's a new territory for everyone.
Oh, fair enough. All right, look, we'll take a quick break, and then we want to talk about incitement, so we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
There was a friend of mine on murder, and the judge's gavel fell. found him guilty, gave him 16 years in hell. He said, I ain't spending my life here. I ain't living alone. Ain't breaking no rocks from the chain gang. I'm breaking out and heading home. I'm gonna make a jailbreak. And I'm looking towards the sky. I'm gonna make a jailbreak.
Listening to Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and we do have our legal people with us this afternoon, and we're just working our way through a couple of different things, or discussing laws. Now, there's been a little bit in the paper, and we've had at least two questions just about what incitement is. I know a couple of people have been charged with incitement, and then later on we've got a couple of very specific questions about incitement. So, Aman, could you just outline what the law of incitement is, please?
Yep, sure, Alan. As we've been reading in the news, there's a lot about this going on. So incitement, it's a behaviour that encourages another person to commit a crime before that crime takes place. So if that crime is acted upon, the person who insinuated will be a insinuator, and it's an indictable offence, which is under the law, Section 321G of the Crimes Act 1958.
And incitement, sorry, can I just go back one stage? You said it was what sort of law?
It's a indictable offence.
Indictable effect. So does that mean that it carries a jail term with it?
It carries, it does. It's trial by jury, and if there's a criminal conviction upon it, yes.
So it's not just held in heard in a magistrate's court, is it?
Or the beginning would be there, yes.
Right.
Yep.
All right, so let me this has actually created quite a bit of interest, and we've heard from a few people. The next one is, say one of us go home this afternoon and we open up Facebook and there's a thing to say that there's a protest rally. We'll say it's a Timbuktu because we know there's nothing there on this Saturday at 3 o'clock. So if I go, or if one of us go onto it and we go down in the comments and we say, hey, well, I think we should all go to this, rah, 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 and all about share that, would that be considered incitement?
Well, to prove incitement, the prosecution have to prove it beyond reasonable doubt, and there are two main elements to prove incitement. First, if there's a inciting conduct, and secondly, the intention of the accused. Unless these two have not been proved, it's difficult to prove such a offence. Obviously, given people have protesting, and obviously with COVID, everything is so uncertain. It's very difficult to place if this can be an offence. Obviously, the law says if you are encouraging somebody to commit a crime, then that's a offence. Protest normally, in its sense, is not a criminal offence. It's a right, but under state of emergency and state of disaster, with various rules and restrictions now placed, we'll have to adhere to those rules. So such normal activities pre-COVID that were considered not a crime or breaching any rules are now viewed in a different way by the authorities. So it's just threading carefully on how we share our thoughts on social media.
All right, so look, I just need to take a quick break. In fact, one of them is a sponsorship announcement from Hutchinson Legal. I've just got to take those, and then I'll be back because we've got another question or two about incitement as well.
You're listening to Lawyers Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 12:30 and 15 degrees. And I don't want to sound ageist or what, but the two legal eagles I've got with me today are fairly young, so I bet they didn't recognise that bit of music, but it was the, and they probably don't even know the show that I'm going to talk about, but that was the theme for Perry Mason, which was a legal eagle back in the 60s, I think. It was a great show. I watched it every week with my father. So I just thought I'd throw that in there for a bit of fun. But anyway, that was the theme song for Perry Mason. All right, so let's get back to incitement. So really, you'd have to be fairly careful, I would have thought, with what you're saying. If we went home tonight, found this thing on Facebook, and then start to encourage people to go to it. You're not saying that we could be charged with incitement, but there is quite a possibility, isn't it? I mean, we're actually talking to people going.
Yes, because with rules now being placed, stage four restrictions and you know, the hope is not to have the spread of the COVID anymore. That's why the restrictions are placed. You know, the normal activities of gathering, it's more challenging to have such gatherings now. Obviously, before COVID, they were much more simpler, much more clear. If you can have a protest or have such gatherings, with COVID, is so uncertain, it's just best is to just take precautions before taking such movement.
Righto. So now we could talk about this incitement as in while we're talking about COVID, and I'd also like your thoughts after COVID, back to where we should be in normal. So, all right, we go home, we find this thing on Facebook, and we think, well, I was listening to Alan Collier today, and I don't want to run the risk of being charged with incitement. So I look at it and I think, yeah, but I think that's a great idea, this protest. I'm not saying I personally agree with it, but I'm saying that the person thinks that. So then they like it and they share it. They don't write any wording on it. They just like it and share it. So now they've moved it on to another group of people without necessarily saying, look, I think you should go. Let's get as many there as we can. Whether it be COVID-19 or was state of disaster or state of emergency or not, could that at any time be considered incitement, where you actually just get something and pass it on?
So that goes back to the second element of proving incitement, the intention. If your intention was for those person to go, your intention for just sharing and liking was for them to encourage them to go and say commit that offence for which you're being incited, then there's a possibility. So it all has to be proved on your intention.
I didn't mean to cut across you, but that's going to be fairly hard to prove. How do you know what's in my mind when I sit down onto the computer tonight, or how does the police or anyone do that?
Yep, so that's the prosecution's case. They have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Incitement has to be proved beyond a reasonable doubt. They would have to gather as much evidence as they can. They'll have each case is determined on their own facts. So I'm not saying it's a fairly easy area to prove it, but as these are the elements and they have to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, that is left for the prosecution.
And I think Annabelle wants to jump in too.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with him. I think it's easy to come up with the first element, which is just to see that there's an inciting conduct. But then again, the intention is the one that's difficult for the prosecution to prove. So I guess just posting something on Facebook, there are a lot of intentions behind what you can have. It might just be a sweeping statement that you just think, I post everything that I see anyway. Or it might be an actual inciting intention that people should go for this protest and things like that. So it really depends on what evidence the prosecution can find, and beyond reasonable doubt, that's a really high threshold as well.
So probably in this time that we're in over the next couple of months or something, you really need to give a lot of thought and maybe not share some of this stuff. Is that what we're really suggesting?
It's threading with care, as there's so many new rules coming up every day related to COVID restrictions and what you can't do in restrictions, what you can do. It's best to thread carefully, just to know what rules are in place at the moment, so that you don't breach it. Because different people can have a different interpretation, and that would lead to another uncertainty. So it's best that just thread carefully, would say. Just be careful.
And particularly, and I don't want to pick on Facebook or those, but that seems to be where the problems can exist, doesn't it? Because it's so easy to move stuff on, it's so easy to make statements, and you may regret it later. And of course, once it's out there, you can't bring it back. And it's proof positive, isn't it? It's in black and white.
It's in black and white, exactly. As you say, it's black and white. So, yeah, people just need to... Social media is so easy. You can share your thoughts and views, but just if your intentions are clear, then it shouldn't be a problem. But, yeah, with COVID, but also this uncertainty, just have to be careful.
All right.
Be cautious.
We just need to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to change the subject altogether. We've done that, and we have had a number of inquiries about that, so I'm glad that we've been able to clear that up. And for the people that are listening, I hope it's made it clear for you. If you have a question that you'd like answered between now and 1 o'clock, give us a quick ring on 59615991, 59615991, or a quick email to info@yarravalleyfm.org.au. info@yarravalleyfm.org.au. Greg's out there. He'll get it and bring it straight into us, and we'll get you an answer before 1 o'clock.
Fever.
Listening to Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and that, of course, was Madonna singing Fever. And that song, Fever, has been around since the 1950s. It's been done by many, many people, people such as Ray Charles and Kylie's done a version of it. There, Ray Burr. Oh, there's just been so many that have done that Fever, but that was Madonna's version. Anyway, let's get on with what we're here for. It's Community Connections. We've got our legal hour. We've got Annabelle and Eamon with us, and we're talking all things legal. Annabelle, you wanted to say something about wills.
Yeah, I think with COVID affecting, I guess we wouldn't have expected it to affect the elderly community to such a big extent. It's just a reminder for people to, you know, update their wills and or create new wills, because especially for those in aged care, it seems like the numbers of death, unfortunately, has been increasing. So a good way to do so would just be, you know, using technology. And one thing that I found out during COVID is that the elderly have been increasingly been able to use technology like Zoom or FaceTime their children, their grandchildren, and been connected to society as well. And that's really great. So in the same way, you know, they're able to sign their powers of attorney, sign their wills over technology without having to leave their house in the comfort of, you know, their own environment. And this has been really, it's been great to see that technology has been helping people, keeping connected to each other as well.
Oh, that's terrific. And of course, the other thing is too that people need, some people seem to do their will when they're first married, and then of course children come along, they don't update the will, and then in some cases there's a divorce, and then there's stepchildren and all sorts of things. And if you don't sort of cover all those things in the will, you can very often wind up with the money going to people you don't really want it to, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. It's important to keep your will updated, especially like what you say with second marriages or with grandchildren, or even unfortunately if kids have been not been contacting you. You know, there are a lot of different reasons why one should keep your will updated. A lot of us, it's important to know where your will is actually as well. You know, you don't just want a copy of it, you want to know where the original will is. It's pretty important to just keep updating your legal documents.
Yeah, wills, well, I was going to say they're funny things, they're not really, but I was talking to someone the other day, and the mother hadn't heard from about five of her children, three of them for 20 years, and she's died only a few months ago, and now they're going to all try and contest the will.
It is, which is why sometimes our clients have different clauses in their will to state about their children or reasons for why they're doing things they do, and it's really important to write that in your will, yeah.
Now, like, I guess, you know, it's your money, and if you want it to go to certain people, it's no good just leaving a will that it could go to. Or, in fact, there are a lot of people that haven't bothered to make a will.
Yeah, definitely. I guess COVID is important. It's important from COVID. Sorry, what we learned from COVID is important to, you know, keep updating your documents and things like that.
All right, look, I've got to take a quick break. I've got a couple of things I've got to do, and then we'll be back. We're going to talk about signing contracts during COVID.
Listening to Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 8 minutes to one and 15 degrees, and we're chasing a top of 17. Down to a very chilly 1 degrees tonight, 21 tomorrow and sunny, and Friday 20 and partly cloudy. But I'll tell you all about the weather straight after 1 o'clock news. And I have with me the solicitors or the lawyers from Hutchison Legal, and we've been discussing various parts of the law. And I should mention I'll be back 4 weeks today, the second Wednesday of the month. And if you've got any questions, you can always give us a ring or send us an email in the next 3 or 4 weeks and we'll get you the answers. Eamon, you want to talk a little bit about what you can do about signing contracts and that during the COVID times we're in.
Yes, Alan, thank you for that. Now that restrictions have been extended, stage four restrictions have been extended until 28th of September, just wanted to quickly remind everyone that all the property inspections, whether rental or sales, are still on virtual online platforms under stage 3 restrictions, so they're still extended. But obviously any agreement that was entered into before stage 4, which is before 5th of August, you can still have your pest inspections or the final inspections at the property. But obviously you should need to arrange that with your estate agent. COVID's been proving very tricky for buying properties and sale of contracts. One thing that we suggest is that you have COVID-related clauses, special conditions in your contract, in case there's any delay with settlements or where you want to inspect properties subject to these restrictions. So it's just these things that people can consider when entering into contract, speak to their lawyers or even the estate agents so that there's more clarity with moving forward on the timelines of the contract.
And because you can't actually inspect the property even on a one-on basis at the moment, can you, under these new laws?
No, under stage 4 restrictions, it's all done virtually, online. So this is the challenge that stage 4 has brought upon. So what you can add in your clauses is that this contract is subject to the property being inspected after stage 4 restrictions have been lifted. So you can enter into a contract, but obviously subject to certain conditions which have been met. So these are the kind of clauses you can work out now.
And would you be allowed to get a pest controller and a building inspection during COVID? You wouldn't be, would you?
No, these all have to be after stage 4.
All right. Look, I just want to take a quick break. I just want to play a few bars. We were talking about Madonna a minute ago with Fever. This is the original Fever one with Peggy Lee. We'll just play a little bit of it.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, a fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime.
That was just the original by Peggy Lee and Fever. So that goes right back to the 1950s. Certainly Madonna and a few of those have certainly hyped it up a bit. All right. Unfortunately, our time is fast coming to an end. So we like to leave you with a bit of a problem or something to find out. This time, it's not necessarily a law that we've been asked about, but we've had one or two inquiries about if you could have a look at what the Magistrates Court, the County Court and the Supreme Court are doing differently now than what they did prior to COVID. Now, courts were always very open and people could go in and listen to it. If you could just do a bit of work on the three levels of the courts and tell us just what's different than what it was before. Well, obviously, before it was all very open. And maybe look at the Children's Court as well, because as I understand, well, the Children's Court used to be a closed court, but as I understood it, it did open up a bit. But, I mean, all those courts now must be very different to what they were, say, this time last year.
Alan, for the question, we would do some research into it and come back in a month.
That'd be good, because I think it might be very fascinating as to what can happen now as opposed to what happened a while ago. I mean, my understanding was, and I'm not a lawyer, you people are, so if you could look at this as well, one of the things that I was always told was that they wanted the accused in court so that people could eyeball them and their reactions to the questions could almost be just as important as the answer. Whereas, can they run these court cases now without the accused being there? Can they, or do they do them by video link? I mean, that's the sort of thing we'd like to find out if we could at all the levels of the court. Don't worry about the High Court, because most of the people that listen to us are hopefully never going to get involved with the High Court. But I mean, there will be ones that get involved with the Magistrates Court, the County Court, and the Supreme Court. So, as to what happens in, there must be differences, and we've been asked what those differences are. So, if you could do that for us.
Yeah, definitely, we'll be able to do that. It's a really interesting question, and I think everyone's looking forward to know the differences and what's the changes as well. So it's a good question. Thanks for that, Alan.
And it'll be, I mean, not that you'll know yet anyway, it'll be very interesting to know whether some of these things change when we, you know, like this time next year. And I mean, we may never go back to 100% the way it was. I don't know. And we're not asking you to do that. We really only want to find out what's happening now that and what was different from 12 months ago.
Sure. That'd be good.
Look, thank you very much for your time again. We always enjoy the legal hour. There's always a bit of things going on that we don't know about. But thank you for your time, and we'll look forward to seeing someone from your organisation the second Wednesday of... Well, it'll be October by then, won't it?
Yeah.
I think we'll be all glad to see the end of this year.
I think so.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye.